Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bottle boom! Realest guys in a room.
How you know?
With your host.
And I already mentioned this, but I think we should have come up with a cool tag team name by now, but you've been turning a lot of things down. You've been turning down a lot of things. You turned down Sambros.
I've been open to everything.
You turned down Ska Madness. Yeah, I know you said you like the Beef Eaters. I told you I don't drink gin, all right?
Yeah, first of all, you already know our team name tonight is the Rough Riders.
The Rough Riders doesn't work. It doesn't. It's too sexual.
You're very suggestive.
Take your stupid hat off and let's go beat these guys, all right?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, or should we say that 70s wrestling show, Rock You Troll. We are brought to you by our good friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your Stop Motion Wrestling action figure needs. A huge shout out to the folks over at Gerwick.net and RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much to listening to our BS from there. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my troll of a producer, Sir Rockin.
You weren't expecting this, were you?
No! Dick! Oh, God, we will get into it. We will explain why we are laughing at that 70s show theme as we get into the news, but we have a lot to cover tonight. We have news, we have notes, we have NXT, and we will be talking all about Money in the Bank tonight.
Yes, we will. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Linz Ward. Join us at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. You can get us on TuneIn Radio if you're on the go. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. It's live, it's free, we're here, we're talking things. It's that wrestling show.
70s wrestling show.
That 70s wrestling show.
It actually took me a minute to place the song. Because I was listening to it, I was like, what is this? And then I heard the chorus part, and I was like, oh, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't.
So since like 10 o'clock on Tuesday night, this has been in my head to play this song to open our show.
You're such a jerk.
What? It's not my fault. Donna's not wearing a bra.
No, because it was Donna versus Jackie for the Knockouts Championship, remember?
Yes, it was. Oh, man, we'll get more into that later in Tweet of the Week as well.
Yeah, we will, but we're going to just jump right into news brought to you by our friends over at, again, Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, to the haven for TNA fans, although I'm not sure how much longer it's going to be a haven for them, because, well, we are going to open with TNA news tonight because, well, it is the biggest story of the week, or one of the biggest stories of the week, and that is that it came out that over the weekend, TNA had some severe financial issues concerning not only the Slammiversary pay-per-view, but their TV tapings as well.
They weren't getting off the ground.
They were not getting off the ground. They did not have the money to run any of the shows, and they were forced to basically sell part of the company to Billy Corgan to get the money to run the shows.
Yeah, that's sort of what happened. The chief financial officer, Chad, I forget his last name, went out on Facebook and basically told the story, what he was going on over the weekend. He spent like made like 80 phone calls to lawyers, partners, etc., trying to get funds so they could get the Impact TV tapings and Slammiversary off the ground, get the production trucks rolling, because they had no money to run the pay-per-view. Yeah, when your chief financial officer goes out on Facebook
and rants.
And rants about it, where he basically said at the end of it, "Think I need to retire?" Kind of shows you where you are financially and what kind of a mess it is. The thing that's been going on through my mind the entire time, why did it take till this weekend to realize you had no money?
Because I think they thought they did until they ran the numbers of what it was going to cost. And it was probably, they probably have the money to do one, but not both, I would bet. They might have had the money to do, like, the TV tapings and didn't realize they didn't have the money to do the pay-per-view. Because it was primarily the pay-per-view that they got the loan for. It was not necessarily the TV tapings.
It was for everything.
Oh, it was for everything? Okay. My bad. So, yeah. So, it could have been that when they had the booking or they made the booking, maybe they had the money and now they don't. I don't know how they do their finances. All I know is this, it's becoming laughable at this point.
And it's sad because we want this company to succeed. We want people to keep their jobs. But every time there's a story that comes out, it just...
It's getting worse. It's to the point, TNA has had financial trouble in the past. This is not a new thing with them. However, they are dangerously close to bankruptcy. When you have to sell to someone else, sell shares in your company to get the money to run your show that you're not making really any money off of, that's not a good sign.
No, it's not a good sign. It's a very, very bad sign. And we've documented all their financial issues here on the show. We've talked about it at length on what's been going on with the company, and they're looking for a new owner or trying to sell part of the company. It's well documented. You just wonder sometimes, is it worth continuing on?
I'm kind of to the point where, like I said, it's laughable. They're a joke. They are an absolute joke. And I hate to say that, but it's like, you know what? At this point, put the company in either chapter 10, I think it's chapter 10, and just restructure the company. Just completely restructure it. Because as everybody's been pointing out, it's not necessarily the wrestling that's bad.
No, the product has gotten better.
It's the management. It's always been the office that has been a problem in TNA. Always. Always, 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 always has been the office from day one, how that company has been run. And it's just something, put it in chapter 10, restructure the management, change the ownership. Because honestly, I feel bad for the people that work for the company, especially the people that have spent their careers there. You know, people like Abyss, people like James Storm, although I don't feel as sorry for him because he sort of screwed himself over. But... people that you know, it's like all the people that can get to WWE are getting to WWE, but there are the people that are still in TNA right now that are never going to get there. And you know that they've spent their entire careers in TNA with the hopes that TNA is going to blow up and be huge. And now they're in severe financial straits. They're very, I mean, if you do not have money to run your show, I don't know how you have money to operate on a day-in to day-out basis. So it sounds like they're very close to bankruptcy, if they're not already there.
And I think they're doing their best to try to avoid that. They are doing everything they can to avoid filing for bankruptcy, because that's the last thing that company really truthfully needs right now, is to file for bankruptcy.
It might be the best thing for them, though.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that part. I think it would be best for their business to restructure the company in any shape or form.
Because, I mean, here's the thing, is it's like, you look at everybody that has sunk their money into that company. You know, Jeff Jarrett, Dixie Carter, Panda Energy. I think Eric Bischoff put money into it at one point. You know, Billy Corgan has now put money into it. And it's just, they can't make it go. They almost had it there for a while, and then it just, like, I think for a 6-month period, it was running in the black, maybe?
Something like that. I think it was 1 year.
Yeah, I think with 1 year, they actually managed to run in the black, but the rest of the time they've run in the red, and it's just recently that they've just hemorrhaged money left, right, and center.
Right, and they're not running in the red right now. They're just... they probably are running in the red, but the point is, they're not as far in the red as they used to be.
No, they've done a lot to cut costs, and that's awesome for them, but it's something of, you're cutting costs, but you're still not bringing in any money. And that's the problem, is they're heavily reliant on their TV deals for cash flow. And their biggest one right now is India. and they are trying to figure out a way to finance a tour of India because they don't have the money to get there. They don't have the money to get the talent there. The company that they have the deal with is going to front some of the cash, but not all of it. TNA has to make up the difference, and they don't have it. So here's the thing. TNA has to figure out a way to get everybody to India to be able to run the shows in India so they can keep this partner happy, because here's the thing. If they don't get there and they don't run these shows, they'll pull the TV deal. TNA's done.
Because it's stipulated in the contract that they must run. There was issues towards the end of last year where they were going to do a tour, and safety concerns and other money issues played a factor in it, and they weren't able to do a tour, and all the partners agreed, okay, we'll do it this year. And if they do not do it this year, then they're going to lose the TV deal 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to sit here and just badmouth them, especially at the start of the show, because I hate doing that, but it's like, to me, I'm beyond tired of it. I'm beyond tired of seeing it and hearing about it. It's like, just stop.
Like, I feel bad for all the people involved. I feel bad for the production guys and everyone who just actually spends a lot of time putting this together.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about. It's like Bill Banks. Bill Banks has worked for that company from, like, day one.
Yeah, he has. And you just feel bad for those people that they're chugging along, and it just sort of, you see the writing. It's off in the distance, but you see the writing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you see people bailing ship. You see people, wrestlers going to WWE or going to Japan or going out on the independents or just not re-signing. You see office staff leaving. They laid off a lot of people at the beginning of the year as well, where they let people go.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't afford to keep them. You know, they were evicted from their Nashville location, and they're now running out of their Shop TNA warehouse, essentially. And it's not a good sign. It's just end it. Just stop. Please. Because, you know, you feel bad for the people that are working for TNA. You feel bad for the talent that's working for TNA, especially when you hear that they're trying to negotiate, you know, six-figure contracts with people, because it's like, you don't have the money to honor a six-figure contract. We all know you don't. Unless you can prove it, we all know that you can't, because if you're having to take a loan for Billy Corgan to run a show, how are you going to honor that contract? Like, if I was a talent and I was renegotiating right now, I wouldn't believe anything they said.
It's hard.
You know, honestly, I'd stipulate it in my contract. I get paid no matter what. You're gonna offer me a six-figure deal? Okay. This company goes belly up. Guess what? I still get my money. And that's if, you know, somebody personally has to write me a check or not. I don't really care. But I still get my money. Because there are going to be a lot of people that are put out of work that are never going to see what they were promised, or close to what they were promised, if TNA goes under.
Very, very true. We alluded to this in the opening with the song. TNA had some issues, and this was not TNA fault. It just, the timing of it was just poor.
Yeah.
To say the least, with all the rumors of the financial issues that came out. Then Tuesday night, 9 o'clock, I turn on Pop TV like I do every Tuesday night to watch Impact Wrestling live, and I talk to Lindsay as I watch the show. And it started to try to air, and then it went to a commercial loop over and over and over. And
the same three commercials over and over and over again.
Celebrity Name Game commercial for That 70s Show, hence the music, and Impact Wrestling. Donna was not wearing a bra, and other sort of things. Her hands were big and stuff like that were part of the commercials. And this lasted for an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah.
There was a couple points where the live feed would break in. Lindsay can back me up on this. There was a point where Bobby Lashley was in the ring and he was talking in very slow motion.
Yeah, because they were having feed issues, and it's like they would get the feed live, and because it was, I think it was about 15 minutes into the show, where it was like, okay, well, you know, we've been in the loop of commercials, and then they came back and it was Bobby Lashley in the ring, and it was like, wait, did we just miss the first 15 minutes of Impact? We did miss the first 15 minutes of Impact, because they've been airing the show while it's not been broadcasting. So basically somebody in the production truck realized, oh crap, we need to restart the tape. So they sent it back to commercial break, rewound the tape, or put it back to the beginning of the show, came back, played it from the top, and it just kept having issues of it cutting in and out, where we just, they would let the tape play in the commercial breaks, and it's like they almost kept catching it, where it's like it would come back, it would keep be playing, you'd be at a completely different spot, you had no idea what the hell was going on in the show at all. You're just sitting there, and you're like, wait, what? Because we went from Bobby Lashley to the top of the show.
No, it went from Jeff Hardy match to Bobby Lashley, which was the top of the show.
Right. To Drew Galloway backstage.
Yeah.
And I think that was the last time they got it on air was Galloway backstage.
Yeah, about 45 minutes, and Lindsay gave up on trying to watch it.
Yeah.
Because it was not, they kept saying, it's coming, it's coming. It came at 10:50.
You know, honestly, I can only watch the same three commercials over and over again on repeat for so long before I have to change channel.
Yeah. It was just one of those nights. It was unfortunate for TNA. It was just a very, very bad night for TNA wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, to their credit, they did get the show up. They did run it. It ran without commercials for the most part, I think.
Yeah, there was the first couple segments had like 30-second commercial, and then went commercial-free the rest of the broadcast, which was nice to Pop TV, and then Pop TV re-aired it on Wednesday night at 9, which I had to at 9 o'clock on Wednesday check to see if it actually got off the air, and it did.
It did, yes.
We can confirm it actually did get off the air, on Wednesday night. So that was good.
And there were some good that came from the tapings.
There was, including one big announcement.
Yes, that's right. It has been announced that this year's inductee into the TNA Hall of Fame will be Gail Kim.
She deserves it for her legendary career in TNA wrestling, including her awesome matches with Awesome Kong. Her stuff with Tyron Terrell. Gail Kim is one of the best performers they ever had in the company. I was kind of surprised, but then you realize who's been in the company, who's still around, associated with the company. It made sense if Gail Kim goes in.
Well, she's been the backbone of that women's division forever. She helped to really get it to the point where the Knockouts division was this amazing thing for a long time, and then Gail Kim left and went back to WWE to get that one last payday, and then she came back to TNA and had a second really great run with the company.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Gail Kim has been the backbone of the Knockouts division, and you can't fault her for everything she's done.
No, you can't. Congratulations to Gail Kim.
Yes, congratulations to Gail Kim. It was also announced, not from the tapings, but it came out that Bobby Lashley has re-signed with TNA, so congratulations to him. Happy news.
Hold on. Also, another congratulations to Bobby Lashley for becoming the TNA World Heavyweight Champion at Slammiversary.
Ding!
But not so great news.
But not so great news. Chris Melendez has decided to leave TNA.
Yeah, he posted on social media that he's hanging up boots and leaving TNA wrestling and going to another adventure outside of wrestling. So I would say it's sad to see him go, but I never dug him in TNA, so...
Fare thee well.
All I say is we go to the injury roundup.
I agree.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, number one, we have, well, both TNA. So, way to go, Brent.
Yeah, we have Madison Rayne with an elbow injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And Rockstar Spud got a tooth knocked out at this past week's TV tapings.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So, hope they feel better. Hope Spud gets his smile fixed.
The fine folks were able to, I think, save his tooth or something, so he may be all right.
Hope so, because if he has to get implants, implants suck.
Yes, they do. So, those are your blame Brents. The streak continues, that the segment continues on.
And one last not so happy news, because we're going to jump over to WWE news brought to you by, again, our friends over at Gerwick.net. And by the way, if you're just joining us, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Bobby Roode made his debut this past weekend for NXT in London at the Download Festival.
Yes, he did. Made a surprise appearance, wrestled Angelo Dawkins. And then has stayed on the rest of the NXT tour. And the video we watched, probably the best thing we watched all day, was Bobby Roode getting down with No Way Jose.
Bobby, you're so white. You're so white. Oh my god.
But in typical Bobby Roode fashion, he did the dance and then attacked.
Yes, because it pays to be rude.
It does pay to be rude. And no fantasy points for that.
No fantasy points. Yet.
Yet.
Wait for him to debut on NXT.
In about 3-4 weeks.
I'm okay with this. Let's see. Speaking of NXT, it was announced that NXT TakeOver Brooklyn Part 2.
Back to Brooklyn.
Back to Brooklyn has sold out. They sold Barclays out again.
That's great. It was, what, 4 days it took?
Yeah, I think it took about 4 days. So a little bit longer than last time.
Last time was longer because they did it in stages.
Yeah, this time I think they released all the tickets at once.
They opened them all at once, sold them all out, 4 days. You know, they probably sold most of them in the first day, and, you know, the rest trickled through. But 4 days to sell 13,000+ tickets?
Can we just say that the fact that they sold a, what, 10,000-15,000 seat arena for the seat, what's considered the C brand of the company, out, and the main show, I don't think, is sold out yet. Has SummerSlam completely sold, or are there still tickets available?
I do not know. I would have to look that up. But what makes that more interesting is nothing's been announced. You don't know who's going to be on that show. We have an idea when we talk about NXT later, but yeah. that's still up in the air.
They're going to save that. They have to.
It all depends on the draft.
Yes, that's true. It does all depend on the draft. Pesky, pesky, pesky draft. Speaking of the draft, there is a rumor going around that WWE is going to be doing split brand pay-per-views, which means there will be two live events every month on the WWE Network, one for Raw and one for SmackDown. This is, of course, an exception to the four big pay-per-views, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. Those will be co-brand pay-per-views.
Go ahead.
I don't like the brand split, is when they do crap like this.
Oh, I know. The fun fact is there's probably only two additional events, probably, that will be added from based off the 2015 number that WWE did, but still a lot of events.
Yeah, I don't like the brand split. I'm trying to be positive about it. Not really, but I'm trying. And I hated it the first time. I'm not going to be a fan of it the second time, I can promise you that. And yeah,
she's not a fan. I want to see how this works. We had this idea, though.
By the way, thank you, MIBSWX8FA.
She sees you. She says hi. We had this idea how to salvage the idea. You make it one world heavyweight champion, have them go between shows, and then have them defend the belt twice a month. And actually have them earn the championship, and it would actually work.
And the way that you do this is you elevate the U.S. title, and you elevate the IC title, and you make those the main show titles, the main brand titles, and then you have the overall company champion. Because to me, what is the point of the U.S. title and the IC title if you're going to have a Raw champion and a SmackDown champion on top of those two other titles? It's like they went through this huge effort only a few years ago to unify the belt, to create the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. They've put a lot of emphasis on it. They've done a really great job of building that title and making that title important and having it matter. And I feel like splitting it isn't going to do it any favors, because then eventually it's going to pit the Raw title against the SmackDown title. And it's which title is more important, because they're not going to be treated equally. We all know they're not going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to have the women's champion float, if you're going to have the tag champions float, have the world heavyweight champion float, and then just have the U.S. title and the IC title be the brand championships.
Or the other flip side of the idea we had was you eliminate the U.S. and Intercontinental titles. If you're going to split the belts, you got to get rid of the U.S. and Intercontinental titles, because they won't mean anything at that point.
Rachel! Hi! It's my buddy. She's awesome. Everybody go check out Untapped Potential. That's her show. It's amazing. It's awesome. Sorry. Live radio, everybody! Live radio.
But anyway, they would have no point at that point, those belts, because they'll be second fiddle to both championships. So if you're not going to make them the brand titles, get rid of them. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand they need to add more titles on top of titles that they already have, unless they're just going to eliminate them altogether, which would suck if they got rid of the IC title and the US title, but they're already really just deflated, and they already really don't matter. So what is the point of keeping them if you're not going to put any importance on them, unless you're going to do to those two championships what you've done to the women's title, what you've done to the WWE title, and to the what they're going to do to the tag titles, which is put the importance back on them, build them back up, build a whole division around them, and really make them important again. If they do that, I'm okay with it. But yeah. If they're just going to continue to not matter, which it seems like that's what they're doing, get rid of them.
Right. So if you're going to make these two if you're separate brands, make it one championship, and that's it. One championship, one tag title, one women's title, let them all float. And if you want two world champions, make them one apiece, and that's it. There's four belts. That's all you need. You look at NXT, they have three. That's enough. You don't need six belts. That's what killed the last thing. You had the U.S. title, you had a hardcore title, European title, Intercontinental title. You had two sets of tags, two sets of women's.
I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't complain if they brought back the hardcore title.
Okay.
And the 24/7 rule.
And the 24/7 rule?
Yeah, that's the only way I will accept the hardcore title coming back is if they do the 24/7 rule.
If they do the 24/7 rule. Okay. But beyond that, but the point still stands. The belts were overkill last time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, they pitted Raw against SmackDown last time, and we all know who won that, which was Raw, because Raw is the A show.
Yeah, Raw was the A show, if I could speak.
Although Paul Heyman did his damnedest to make SmackDown the A show.
And to be fair for Paul Heyman, when he was in charge of SmackDown, the ratings were beating Raw.
Yeah, SmackDown when Heyman ran it was really, really, really good. I remember when SmackDown was run by Heyman. He did just the writing, booking, all of it was really good, and then they got pissed and fired him.
He tried for too much.
Yeah, he and Vince got into it, and like, that was it.
Yeah, and that happened with the ECW stuff, yeah. It was a little too much for Paul Heyman. Back to the brand split thing. It did give us Eddie Guerrero, it did give us Edge and all the like, and this could, again, it still could be beneficial, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not going to have its benefits, that it's not going to be positive. You know, stars were made in the brand split, and I'm hoping that that's what happens again. What I never liked about it was it was always one brand versus another, and eventually it just got to the point where it was very clear that Raw was the superior brand to SmackDown, and SmackDown just got really, really poor for a long time because they just didn't care, and they weren't writing it.
Yeah, I think things will be different this time.
I hope so.
I hope it would be. You mentioned superstars, right?
No, but go ahead.
Oh, you said stars. I'm going to tie it into superstars. Superstars got a new announcer.
Did they?
David Otunga has left the Raw pre-show to host, or be the commentator on Superstars and Main Event.
Wait, he's still employed?
He's been employed.
He's still employed?
He's been employed. Besides being...
Where has he been?
The Raw pre-show every Monday night.
For how long?
About a year and a half, 2 years.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
Tells you exactly how observant I am.
He's been there with Corey Graves and Scott Stanford. And now Booker T.
Wait, Scott Stanford's still employed too?
Every Monday night, 7:30 p.m. 7:30 p.m. live on the WWE Network.
Oh, that's why I'm eating dinner. That's why.
You're eating dinner and watching HGTV.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why. Next you're going to say, wait, Booker T's still employed?
No, I know Booker T's still employed, you jerk.
How do you know Booker T's still employed?
Because he's on the pay-per-view pre-shows.
Okay, fair point.
Trying to be a jerk. Catch me if I see how you are.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, and in more exciting news, WWE announced the Cruiserweight Classic roster, which there are a lot of unfamiliar faces, but there are some familiar faces on there as well.
Yeah, there are. Brian Kendrick's in it. Tajiri was a shocker on that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Phenomenon, Zack Sabre Jr. has qualified to be in it. Kota Ibushi will be in it. Gargano and Ciampa are in it. TJ Perkins, the former Matic, a.k.a. Suicide. Sean Daivari's brother's in it. The whole list is available at WWE.com.
This looks like this is going to be really, really fun. Just based on the list of names, I think we're going to get some really phenomenal matches at this.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, and it will be airing on the WWE Network in July following NXT on Wednesdays.
Woohoo! Go Cruiserweight Classic, go!
So more hours of programming of WWE content to watch.
I'm okay with this. As long as it's interesting and good, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, they begin taping it at the end of June.
Right! So speaking of announcements, E3 was this past week, and well, our good buddy, Rob Schomburger, just happened to be at the show, and he was painting at the show, which I think is really cool, because you know what he was painting?
What was he painting?
He was doing the roster reveal part of it for WWE 2K17.
Yeah, and announced would be John Cena. No shock there.
Mm-mm.
The Ultimate Warrior. No shock.
No.
But the legit boss, Sasha Banks, will be on it.
Holla holla.
I was actually excited for that one. That's awesome.
They heard the complaints from last year.
They did. That was like the biggest complaint. The girls were not in it. It's like, you gotta get them in. And boom, they out of the gate. They,
Sasha Banks.
Right
there. Number three.
Yeah, right there. The complete painting he did is now available on his Twitter and on his Tumblr.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah, at Rob Schomburger and at Rob Schomburger Art.
Yeah, and you should note that it's not a small painting. No, no, it's like 8 feet by 10 feet. It's huge.
And this one's huge.
I have no idea where they're going to put that or who gets that, but it's a pretty awesome piece.
Mm-hmm. So, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And, well, more good news for WWE. They went to China, and WWE announced a multi-year streaming deal with Chinese streaming platform PPTV, which will stream Raw and SmackDown episodes starting as of June 28th.
Which, by the way, they only usually get like an hour of Raw, and that's it. So this, them coming to a multi-year streaming deal with them is amazing. It's huge for them.
Oh, it's unprecedented.
It really is. What was even, before we get to their signing here a second, did you see what John Cena did?
Yeah, he gave a press conference in Mandarin.
That hard work paid off for that man.
Bless him.
If there's any question why he's the face of WWE, that's why. Right there. He spent the last 2 years or so learning Mandarin just for this moment.
Yeah, this has probably been in the works for a while, but they were just finally able to get it to go, which is pretty, pretty, pretty awesome for them. I would be curious to know if Shane McMahon had any involvement in the deal, seeing as his company is over there. Kind of interested to know if he worked anything in that deal.
Yeah, to Rachel and Charum, he spoke for like 2-3 minutes in Mandarin. It's up on the WWE YouTube channel and on their website, so it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's been learning Mandarin, and I think that's the only one he was learning. But basically, a while ago, WWE offered their talent the chance to learn a different language.
Yeah, anyone could go do it right now. Any language you want, they'll let you learn it.
They'll pay for it. So John Cena was learning Mandarin. I think Nikki Bella was learning Spanish. So it's the opportunity to have more of their talent be multilingual.
Which only helps for situations like this.
Yeah, which opens doors for the talent in terms of them being able to go out and do press conferences or international tours or what have you. Because I think they only have a handful of stars that are really multilingual. Like, I know Cesaro's one.
He speaks 5 languages.
He speaks 5 languages.
As he told us for over a year.
Yes. But, you know, you have Kevin Owens who can speak French and English. You have Sami Zayn who can speak French and English. Rosa Mendez who can speak fluent Spanish and English. So I think they're trying to just diversify and have more people be able to go out and do press. And, you know, having somebody that can speak Mandarin Chinese, that's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. I watched him do it. He was spot on. It was awesome.
Yeah. Perfect. Just perfect.
But they also signed someone.
They did, and another monumental first for WWE. They signed their very first Chinese athlete, Bin Wang. I believe is how you say his name. I hope I said it right.
It's either Bin Wang or Wang Bin. Hunter said Wang Bin, but everything they wrote, how they wrote it out, was Bin Wang. So it's like, which way is it?
Yeah. We're so sorry if we said your name wrong, but welcome. Welcome.
He's 6'3", 220-something pounds.
Yeah. WWE held an open tryout in China to find their first Chinese superstar. I mean, I think this is amazing.
It's monumental. It's been covered all over on news sites out there, not just the wrestling news sites. A lot of sports websites. This is a big deal. This deal they've signed with them. This is huge.
So, congratulations to him. Congratulations to WWE. Lots and lots and lots of good news. Yay. And just a couple quick notes, because speaking of good news, Neville is expected to return sometime in mid-July. Sure, it will not be as delayed as it has been for Bray Wyatt. But speaking of Bray Wyatt, because there's my tie-in.
I'm just going to sit back, because I put this on the show format just for her.
So, Funko and WWE have a deal. If you're not familiar with it, it's the little pop vinyl or pop figures everybody talks about, where they make the little, I guess they're about 3 inches tall or so, plastic figures of different characters from all kinds of movies and TV shows and books and everything you can think of from pop culture and everything
and
like
beyond.
That.
Our intern is obsessed with them.
Our intern is absolutely obsessed with them. WWE has a deal with Pop Vinyl to create sets. They've released several, including classic superstars, current superstars. They are now preparing to release their second set of current superstars.
And legends.
And legends. And I have been sitting here going, where is the Bray Wyatt figure? Well, I am happy to report that in August, for anybody that collects Pop Vinyls or Bray Wyatt merchandise, they are releasing a Bray Wyatt Pop Vinyl. I already have a spot for it on my desk at work. Because that's exactly what I need, is another action figure on my desk at work. But
she was super excited on Monday.
I let out an inhuman squeak when I saw that. Other action figure or other figures in the set include Seth Rollins, Eva Marie, Kevin Owens, and there's one more.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Bret the Hitman Hart. How can I forget Bret Hart? God.
There's your legend.
There's your legend right there. But yes, all the figures are slated to come out in August. There's no information on any kind of pre-orders or anything like that. So just keep your eye on shopwwe.com because they usually sell them on there. But yes, super excited. Bray Wyatt Funko. And of course, we're going to get Brent, the Eva Marie one.
He's all about the all red everything. Rachel says, you don't need it, but who cares? It'll be awesome.
As I like to tell my mother, this is not a question of need. This is a question of want.
Yeah. So, this was... I'm going to use what's said in the chat room as a tie-in for our big announcement, which we'll announce here in a minute. Mm-hmm. Rachel wanted to know, how do you guys feel about the hate that Roman is getting? It pisses her off personally. Okay, she asked a question, which we'll get to in a second. But our big announcement, which I've been teasing on Twitter and Facebook and everything, is in 2 weeks. Right, 2 weeks?
Something like that.
June 20th. That's 2 weeks from tonight. 10 p.m. Eastern, live on the here. We're doing what we like to do twice a year called Ask the Rack. Hashtag Ask the Rack. Where you, the people, can submit questions to us.
June 20th or June 30th?
June 28th.
That's a Tuesday, dude.
Then June 30th. Okay. See, June 28th is the anniversary mark.
Yeah, okay, so let's set this up.
Let's set this up correctly now, because I had the wrong date. See,
we have a four-year anniversary coming up. That's right. We have been doing this for 4 years. It's insane. And for the anniversary of the show, we like to do a little thing we call Ask the Rack, where if anybody wants to submit questions, they can be silly, they can be serious. We warn you that if you submit a smart-ass question, be prepared for a smart-ass answer, because that's how we are. We answer generally all questions, provided they are not too sexual or inappropriate or racist, because we do screen them a little bit, and we just try to make sure that we don't, you know, get anybody in any trouble. But yes, four-year anniversary, we're doing Ask the Rack.
So you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn Ward. You can email them media@wildtalkradio.com. You can Facebook either one of us, or you can send them directly to the Facebook pages, facebook.com/rackradioshow or facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. If you know how to get a hold of Lindsay, you can just write our whole list of questions and hand deliver them to her if you want.
I was going to say, if you know how to find me in person, you can just send them to me.
Here's all the questions I have for you guys. Bam! Right here. Now,
and what day does the show air?
June 30th.
There you go.
I did ask the question. Anyway, no, because June 28th is the actual the relaunch of the show 4 years ago. So.
Yes, we won't get into the relaunch of the show, but yeah, 4 years ago.
Yeah, so yes, you can tell them right to her face. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. You totally can.
Now, back to her question about Roman Reigns. We watched Unfiltered with Renea last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was last week. And if that Roman Reigns was on television more often, there would be no one hating on him. He would be over, like, nobody's business.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, I like Roman. I'm not 100% behind Roman just because I don't connect to him on that level like I do other people. But, I mean, in terms of the hate that he gets, I think a lot of it is really stupid. I think it's really misguided. It's everybody deciding, oh, hey, we're going to be macho jerks and we're going to boo Roman Reigns because it's fun to boo Roman Reigns. There's no real reason to boo him. Some people say, oh, well, he doesn't deserve what he's gotten. Well, that's really not up to you to decide what he deserves. You know, you're not there. you don't know the circumstances in which anything's being done. You really can't make the judgment. Now, you can certainly render an opinion because you have every right to your opinion, but I think in terms of turning that over to hate and just booing the crap out of him for the sake of doing it, I think that's so wrong. Just, you know, deal with it. He is the guy, whether you like it or not. Don't ruin the experience for somebody else just because you don't like him. I was reading an article where somebody was like, well, you know, be prepared for Roman Reigns to re-win or to win the title this Sunday. You know, be prepared to throw stuff. What?
People need to chill on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I just said people need to chill on that. That's all. It's just, yeah. Like, I like Roman. It's hard to get behind him. But if he was actually the person he is on other things outside of the WWE, he would be fine. But he has this issue of talking to large groups of people that he is unable to do.
Yeah, and I think it's something that it's the way that he's presenting the character that's hard for some people to connect to it. So I can see where some people, because I don't connect to it. Like, I think he's pretty to look at. I think he's a genuinely nice person. I have no hate of him in any way, shape, or form. I just don't really connect to him on the level because it's like, I've never been an athlete. I don't have particularly wonderful hair like he does. And, I mean, that's really all we know about him. You know, I don't have any kids, I'm not married, so it's like, that's all we really know about Roman, and I think for me, it's like, I need the reason why Roman's doing what he's doing.
Right.
And we've said this before on the show, where it's like, if I just understood why Roman is there, and why Roman needs to be the champion, I think that would help me connect to him a lot better, just to make him more human. And I think that's one of the issues, is it's just, to me, Roman isn't human enough, but that's how I see it.
Right.
I don't hate Roman Reigns for it, and I don't think he should be hated for it if you don't connect to him.
Exactly.
Because not everybody's going to. It's just like, it's like, I'm personally in love with Bray Wyatt, but that doesn't mean everybody loves Bray Wyatt like I do. And that's cool.
It's fine. Yeah. So, again, that's an example of things you can ask us on Ask the Rack, June 30th, live on the Rack.
Yes. And all questions, provided they're not too out there, will be answered.
Yes. So, think of as many as you want. We will answer them all, because we'll dedicate 90% of the show to that. Or at least half the show.
Rachel, that's adorable.
She also thinks he's pretty.
Yeah. He's very pretty. We could talk about that later. Let's go to break. So, when we come back, we are going to be talking all things NXT. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
I'm just a step away. I'm just a breath away. Losing my faith today.
Falling off the edge today.
I am just a man, not superhuman.
I'm not superhuman.
Someone save me from the hate. It's just another war.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by friends over at Wrestling for Your Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. And well, the arrival of Stan, aka Ty Dillinger, his tenness, I don't know whatever else to call him, signifies that we are now going to talk all about this week's NXT.
So it was the Authors of Pains versus their opponents. They were not given any name. Neither were the Authors of Pain. One was known as the Tattoo One, and the other one.
I think they're trying to figure that out.
Because the names they were given probably are not the best of names to use as the Authors of Pain on television, because no one would be able to pronounce their names. These guys destroyed their opponents.
Can we just call them Bebop and Rocksteady?
If you would
like.
That'd
be a thing.
If you would like.
I mean, I already call Luke Gallows, you know, Steve, so why not?
And Ty Dillinger is now Stan, so, you know.
Yeah, but Ty Dillinger is previously established canon from where he got kicked in the face by Shawn Michaels.
This is true.
I mean, you know, Steve is previously established canon on this show because, you know, he didn't have a name when he was in TNA, so it was just that his name was Steve. So, Authors of Pain, Bebop and Rocksteady. In honor of Turtles 2.
We'll see how long that one lasts. They squashed them. That was basically it. They destroyed their opponents. Andrade Cien Almas gets interrupted by Ty Dillinger. Ty wants to know, wasn't going to let Andrade make a name for himself off of him, because tonight he's going to correct that loss.
He called the interviewer a six.
You know.
It's like, Ty, calm down, honey. Calm down. Your tenness is wearing off. You're kind of going down around an eight right now. So just, you know, calm yourself. Take a deep breath. Rechannel your energy.
You'll be good.
You'll be good.
And Rachel, Dillinger did win a match like 2 weeks ago. He beat Murphy.
Yes, he did.
He beat Murphy. So he won a match. Not many more since then, but he won a match. Paul Ellery was asked what the Authors of Pain are doing here. His response? In due time. Very non-specific.
At least it's better than no comment.
True. We had Carmella take on Tessa Blanchard. This was a back and forth. This was a solid matchup. Tessa took over with a submission. Carmella made her comeback. Bronco Buster into the face busters, into the leg scissors for the win. This was fine. Nice showcase. Carmella's finding her groove on her own now.
They're building Carmella up to give her a run, I think, at the title or with the title. I'm not sure which, but very happy about this. I've always liked Carmella. I've always enjoyed her. I like that they're taking her seriously, and they, you know, because it's like they could have just brought her up with Enzo and Cass and just had her be a manager. But I like how they said, no, she's got potential. We want to keep her down here. We want to do something with her down here. So I think that's really admirable of them. And I like that she's getting a chance to stand on her own.
And you can see the hard work has paid off for her.
Oh, yeah. And she's over with the crowd because they do the thing with her. They do the promo with her. So you can tell it's working for her.
It is indeed working for her. Samoa Joe talked about what you are willing to do to sacrifice to become NXT champion in the TakeOver. He ended any questions on who the undisputed NXT champion is. It's the beginning of a new era. His era. I am Samoa Joe. I am the NXT champion. You don't have enough to sacrifice to take this from me. It's been so long since I've heard him say, I am Samoa Joe. It's like, awesome.
Yeah.
Old school Samoa Joe is back.
Joe's gonna kill you.
Speaking of Murphy, of Blake and Murphy fame, they're back together. They've resolved their issues.
Hey?
They blame most of them on Alexa Bliss. How dare you blame the evil Sparkle Fairy? She's nothing but pure awesome.
She made you guys what you are. Don't even go there with that crap.
Yeah.
She will get blissed off and she will hurt you.
She will hurt you. And they're looking to reclaim their tag team titles. Their first step was taking on TM61. Solid match.
This was a solid match, pretty enjoyable. There was, you know, TM61 had control for a while. There was a big clothesline that turned the tide of the match for Blake and Murphy. But sadly, well, there was a little communication on Blake and Murphy's, miscommunication on Blake and Murphy's part. And, well, one took out the other and allowed TM61 to pick up their first win in NXT. Holla holla, fantasy points. Hey!
Whoop whoop.
I am all about the points. I'm not going to be picky about how I get them, just as long as I acquire.
Yeah. Revival talked about being the greatest tag team on the planet. It says they are the first two-time tag team champions because, well, they're awesome. They're bringing back their tag team because they're the Revival.
Can't argue with that.
So Bayley's going to see the doctor next week.
Is she okay?
If all goes right, she'll be back in action to get back her women's championship.
Get it, Bayley. Get it. I need Bayley Asuka, too. Kind of need it. Just don't put the camera on Izzy this time. Oh my god, that hurts so much.
Yeah, in Breaking Ground, they had the camera on Izzy. Watched her cry when Bayley lost. Sad.
No, no, that child did not cry. That child's soul died for like 10 minutes after her favorite wrestler in the whole world lost. Like, they had to carry her out. Kicking and screaming. I felt so bad for her. And it's like, why did you film this, one? And two, why are you putting this in the documentary? Because, like, everybody that saw it, it was like just this huge kick to the feels. It's like, oh, why did we need to see that? I didn't need to feel that right now. It was terrible. Please don't show crying children. That's the worst. But yay, Bayley's coming back.
Yay, Bayley.
Tangent, sorry.
Good. The Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger took on Andrade Cien Almas. Getting better with it. Getting better.
Getting better. He's,
No, I meant I'm getting better with it, saying the name.
How do you say it? Andrade?
Andrade.
Andrade.
Mm-hmm.
Andrade.
Yeah.
He's finding his groove. He's settling in. This was a better matchup than what it was at TakeOver.
Yeah.
I think they were a little awkward together at first at TakeOver because I believe that was the first time they'd ever gone against each other. But a very, very, very solid contest between them. I like Andrade's swagger.
He has some swagger about him.
And his pimp hat.
He doesn't have Jack's lisp, but he has some swagger about him. This matchup was frustrated. Ty early on. Cien controlled most of it, though the crowd was really behind Ty Dillinger throughout the match. But the double knees in the corner for the win. Andrade Cien almost picked up the win.
Hey, hey, hey.
And then we had the moment of the night.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
So Finn Balor comes out. Fans chant, "Thank you, Finn, and please don't go."
Yeah. Because everybody kind of knows.
He talked about his first time seeing NXT in Blackpool, England. And it was seeing Enzo and Cass, so they were his first, and he just wanted to be a part of it. That's all. They were his first, so he wanted to be a part. Says NXT became a part of him, and he became the NXT champion for 292 days. Talked about going to war with Breeze, Owens, and Joe. Talked about what is next for Finn. What is next? And the fans chant, "Balor Club! Balor Club!" And he goes, "Too sweet."
And he does the hand motion.
Troll.
It's like, "Oh, Finn, you troll.
You troll." And he says it one more time. What is next for Finn? Then, oh, then. And the fans went crazy for Shinsuke Nakamura.
This is the point where the IWC just lost it.
They were singing Shinsuke's song. They were doing "This is awesome." Finn did the Shinsuke pose. Said it's Shinsuke. He says he watched Finn while he was in Japan, and Finn became the icon of NXT. Though Finn may not be champion, he's still icon. If I want to become champion, I have to beat icon. I have to beat you.
Wait for it.
Beat you. And the fans are a chant, "Match of the year. Match of the year." Go ahead.
And if the IWC hadn't lost it before now, they lost it here.
Yeah, they did. Finn goes, "You have answered my question, Shinsuke Nakamura. I guess what's next for Finn Balor is Shinsuke Nakamura versus Finn Balor." They shook some hands. Shinsuke smiled. They closed out the show.
This is going to be epic. I don't care when it happens. I don't care where it happens. This will be epic.
Give them 30 minutes. Let them tear down the house. Let it be a thing.
This, yeah, it's going to be awesome. These two, I think ever since Nakamura showed up, this is one of the matches that people have wanted to see. I'm glad that they're going to do it before Finn goes up.
Even if Finn goes up, they're still doing it. It's going to be a thing.
Yeah, they're going to make this happen. I swear to God, you know, and we can all say thank you, Hunter, for this, because this is Hunter. That Hunter is signing these people, one, because he's a fan, and he wants to see all these matches, and two, he wants to wrestle these people. When they go up to the main roster. I think that this is all Hunter, you know, just, yeah, I want to see this, and I want to see this, and I need this person, and I swear that's what he's doing.
He's just fantasy booking himself.
He's just fantasy booking, and we all benefit from that greatly.
Yeah.
But I think that does it for NXT.
Yeah, this was a solid show, solid wrestling, and the big announcement. That's all you really can expect from this show.
So, we're going to take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and we will be talking all about Money in the Bank, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a huge shout-out to the folks over at Gerwig.net. Thank you so much for listening to us over there and at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. And now we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
to be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I have a lot, I'm sorry.
I don't, so it's good.
It's a flip.
It's a flip.
So, Seamus posts a picture of his iced tea from Starbucks that says Steven, a.k.a. Rocksteady. And his reply is, I've made it, Ma! Starbucks barista in Tampa signed Rocksteady on my iced tea cup. My hashtag Oscar moment, TMNT2. To which Starbucks Coffee replied, 1, 2, 3, Seamus wins. He goes, do I get a mug? Starbucks champion. Dana Brooke. She did that to me. Sit-ups were coming next. She ruined my pump. No one likes Becky Lynch. To which Becky Lynch replies, you want more pump? Just how inflatable are you?
Well, anyway, continue.
The Fans Podcast. I blame Matt Hardy Brand for impact on Pop's technical difficulties. Because broken Matt Hardy.
Brother Nero!
Alex, by the way, if you haven't seen that YouTube video, co-watch it. It's a good laugh.
Brother Nero!
Alexandra, the Pop TV master controls right now, hashtag impact on Pop, and it's a dumpster on fire. Ryan, anyone watching Impact now, and it's a gif of Dean Ambrose going, nope. George Rezek Jr., OMFG, Mila Kunis, low blowed Lashley, and now Ashton Kutcher is the TNA champion. Jason Kennedy, I guess Pop TV's VCR caught on fire. And by the way, these are all from Tuesday night, in case anybody hasn't figured that out yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Jackson Campbell, when you watch Impact on Pop from start to end, and the coolest thing you see is that Jonah Hill is Seth Rogen's father. Silverback, okay, I went on Amazon and bought every season of That 70 Show on DVD. Can I have my wrestling now, please? Rizco Inferno, Donna put on a effing bra already. Lemongrass Gogaloop, is Michael Cole in charge of Pop TV? They're now telling us something we already know. Joshua Hogankamp, at Slammiversary, they said to extend our DVR time for a live show. I didn't think this is what they had in mind.
They did not want us to extend it. Mine couldn't even extend it 2 hours. I had to tape the next programming.
So sad. Maddie Rogers, I don't understand the donut fad thing. Like, if you're going to eat bad things, there's so many other options. And Seth Rollins replies, but donuts, bro.
Donuts, bro.
Come on, donuts.
Donuts.
John Rivers, hey, Fight Owens Fight. I think you're more of a mani pack guy than a briefcase guy. And Kevin Owens replies, so close. Kevin Owens, getting emotional while watching your daughter push her stuffed bear around the kitchen in a toy stroller at 8 a.m. is totally normal. Shut up!
I lose a tweet now.
Cindy Fitch asks Dolph Ziggler, do you know how to block? And Dolph Ziggler replies, no, frowny face, that's why I played safety.
Didn't mention he played safety on SmackDown.
He did, and that's all I have.
All right, first tweet from someone at LINSWARD. Someone like that. I don't know.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know what it is. Either the signal is bad or I got a contact high from all those That 70 Shows commercials. Hashtag impact on pop. Again, don't know who this person is, but I liked her tweets. Donna vs. Jackie for the Knockouts Championship live. Impact on pop. Hashtag That 70s Wrestling Show. And one more from this person, you know, on the Twitter machine at Lynn's Ward or whatever. Hyde versus Kelso, the battle for Jackie's love. Winner take all. Only on Impact on Pop. Hashtag That 70s Wrestling Show. Dan Spaceman. What if TNA's production company just forgot to edit tonight's episode and are rushing to finish it? Like when you turn in a paper late. No, that was not the reason why. Corey Effman. Wait, if this whole Impact on Pop mess was just a tease for the Solomon Crow debut? Maybe? Maybe? No, it wasn't. Jason Kelly, get ready to travel back to a simpler time when wrestling used to actually come on. Hashtag impact on pop. Kyle Lewis, give it 5 stars. This is the best episode of Swerved ever. Hashtag impact on pop. ProWrestling.net. I don't know what the production issue is, but hopefully they've tried kicking the troublesome piece of equipment by now. That's my default. It's everyone's default.
Throw it under a plane.
Blow into the microphone. I don't know, ProWrestling.net. I don't know if you guys know this, but That 70 Show airs weekdays on Pop. Did not know that. Keith Hendricks, following the biggest upset in wrestling history, Eric Foreman is the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Hashtag impact on pop. Someone tweets Tyler Breeze, how does it feel to be gorgeous and rich? He goes, life's a breeze. WWE creativist. WWE held the first developmental tournament in China, where every hopeful had to explain to Vince they weren't Funaki. Hashtag travel woes. And someone named Alexander tweets, those shorts are also sad to see. Did you borrow them from John Cena? This was tweeted to Simon Gotch. One, his reply, one, you're unfamiliar with the climate of Florida. Two, no, that would be weird. They were a gift from John Cena. He was wearing shorts in his picture. And that's Tweet of the Week.
It is Tweet of the Week. So now we're going to jump into Money in the Bank this Sunday on the WWE Network and pay-per-view providers pretty much everywhere. And do you want to tell them all about the Pick'em Challenge?
You go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. You can post your predictions there, facebook.com/RackRadioShow or facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork or Twitter @RackRadioShow, @WildTalkRadio to send in your picks. MediaWildTalkRadio.com as well if you would like to be a part of the fun and excitement that is a WTR Pick'em challenge. No prizes to go around because, well, there's nothing to give away, but the books have been mailed from the previous contest giveaway.
Yes, I know. Tommy received his. Sheila, yours is in the mail. It should have gotten there today.
There you go. So now we're going to break down the pay-per-view that has two kickoff matches. Not one, but two. And it starts with Baron Corbin taking on Dolph Ziggler for the third pay-per-view in a row.
At least they're on the show.
They're on the show. They've been booked. Holla holla. There isn't really much to say about this one. They had a little something on SmackDown, but there hasn't been really much major build to it. I mean, they did the one angle where Dolph low-blowed him after Corbin did the low blow on the last kickoff show, and they were doing a technical match and that sort of thing. There really isn't much to it. Baron Corbin wins.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think Corbin wins. Hopefully this is the final match in the feud and they move him on to something else.
I just anything would be better for Corbin right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's the feud with Ziggler started out fine, but it's to the point where it's just kind of eh.
The problem is none of the matches have been great. They won. They haven't been given time to really take it into a second or third gear.
Yeah.
And because of that, you really don't get hyped for a Baron Corbin-Dolph Ziggler match because you know it's not going to be given a lot of time. Even on Sunday, it's on the kickoff. It's going to be given 5 to 7 minutes. You're really not going to be able to sink your teeth into the match.
I mean, honestly, I think Baron Corbin needs somebody that can challenge him physically. And I know that person could be Ziggler, but I just feel like it's not Ziggler, if that makes sense.
They're just not meshing as well as I think they had hoped they will, but they're going to continue the feud. And hopefully this is the end right here. I have Corbin, you have Corbin, the 8-Ball has Corbin, and so does WWE 2K16.
Well, then we're all in agreement.
For the first one. Up next, we have Apollo Crews taking on Sheamus in the second kickoff match. Again, the storyline for this matchup is Sheamus is a bully, Apollo Crews is standing up to the bully always backs down when Apollo Crews shows up.
But here's the $64,000 question, because Sheamus just had a movie come out.
Yeah, he did. He did have a movie come out, but the movie's out already.
And doing very well at the box office.
It is doing very well at the box office. This is like the whole Corbin thing. You brought up Corbin, you sort of gave him something. This is the first thing you've really had for Apollo Crews after the 2 months you've had him up on the main roster. You would expect Apollo Crews to pick up the win in this one. Since I'm having Corbin go over as the heel in the first match, I gotta have Crews going over here to balance it out over Sheamus, and I could see Sheamus laying him out afterwards, continuing the feud, probably to Raw.
I have to agree. I can see Apollo needs the win. Let's just be frank about it. Apollo really, really, really needs the pay-per-view win to help continue to establish him, because it's like they brought him up, they really didn't do anything with him for a while, and they just sort of let him languish. Now he's back on track, he's got a pay-per-view match. He needs the win on a major pay-per-view against someone like Sheamus, who is an established veteran, to sort of help continue the feud, because you can always have Sheamus come back for revenge.
Alright, you have Crews, I have Crews. 8-Ball says, outlook not so good for Crews beating Sheamus. So the 8-Ball has Sheamus, while WWE 2K16 has Apollo Crews beating Sheamus. We now take it to the main show, and let's first talk about Rusev versus Titus O'Neil for the United States Championship. I have one question. How does Titus O'Neil get a title shot when he hasn't won a match?
Shh.
I know, it's a legitimate question. How does a man get a title shot if he's not wrestling or winning matches? Is it because he's a good father?
Yes.
That is legitimate the reason why this match is happening. He's a good father.
And it's happening on Father's Day. I think it's a way to sort of appease the angry feelings about Titus O'Neil getting suspended and everybody being pissed off about it. And so them just going, okay, well, we're going to push Titus now that he's back. But they're not going to push Titus, if that makes sense. So they're giving him a pay-per-view match. This also plays into the fact that they're still short-handed. Not everybody's back. We're still waiting on people.
Bray Wyatt.
Randy Orton.
To name a few.
And you have people that have recently gone out. So it's something of they're trying to maximize the roster. I think at this point they're literally just trying to get their money in the bank.
I am scared that they're going to put the belt on Titus O'Neil. I am very scared they're going to actually do it on Sunday.
You know what? Honestly, I wouldn't be upset if they put the title on Titus O'Neil.
I would. You don't need it. He don't need it. He hasn't done anything to deserve the title shot. Honestly, he's done nothing.
Neither did Rusev.
No, Rusev beat people. Rusev's beaten people, though. Rusev is at least wrestling in matches to beat people to get this title shot. Titus hasn't beat anyone. Rusev won a battle royal to get his title shot.
You would really be that upset if Titus O'Neil won the
title. I will cancel my W. No, I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. You need it for this show.
I know. But because the network's a great value at $9.99. Ding, plug, shoo. I don't know. I think it would be stupid to put it on Titus O'Neil because he doesn't need the belt. He's not that good. He's never been that good. I'm going with Rusev, even though I know Titus will probably win.
You know, honestly, I would not be that offended. They'll probably do for Titus what they did for Zack Ryder, which is they'll give him the title to give him that moment where it's that feel-good moment of, yay, Titus wins, because I'll bet dollar for donuts that his kids are probably there.
His kids are going to be there in front row watching.
Yeah, and so you're going to have this warm, heart, felt moment with the family where Titus and his kids, they celebrate in the ring. And, you do that good, feel-good moment for Titus O'Neil. Everybody is appeased because, oh, hey, look, Titus O'Neil won. He has a title. His kids are happy. He's happy. We all forget about that whole 60-day suspension thing for him grabbing Vince McMahon.
Which he's still talking about at this point.
That he's still talking about. This gives him something new to talk about. So, I'm going Titus O'Neil.
The 8-Ball says yes, Titus O'Neil will win the U.S. title. While WWE 2K16 says Rusev will win. God, it's going to come down to this match between us. I can really feel it in my body. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, God, why would you do that?
Anyway, she watches something on HGTV.
They painted this beautiful woodwork black.
It's what people do.
It's so ugly.
Anyway, women's tag team matchup, Natalya and Becky Lynch taking on Charlotte and Dana Brooke. They were teasing tension between Dana and Charlotte on Monday night. In these situations, the idea would be to have one of the babyfaces beat the heel challenger to set up the next contender. But we've already seen Natty versus Charlotte. We've already seen Becky versus Charlotte. I don't know. My gut tells me to pick the Charlotte, but logic tells me to pick either Natty or Becky. So I'll let you pick first.
This is non-title.
Non-title. It's a tag match.
Becky and Natty. It's non-title. Charlotte can lose. Your next contender can help Charlotte lose because we all kind of know the next contender is more than likely going to be Sasha Banks. She can make her surprise return at Money in the Bank. She can cost Charlotte the match, similarly to how Charlotte cost her the match at Mania.
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening, but it's, yeah. I mean, if it's non-title, you can have Dana and Charlotte lose, even though it's going to cost me fantasy points. I see Natty and Becky winning.
I'm going to go Natty and Becky as well. The video game had Natty pinning Dana. Just for record, I can see Becky pinning Charlotte and becoming the next number one contender.
No, I don't see Charlotte taking the pin in this. It's a tag match for a reason. Dana's there to take the pin.
Okay. A-Ball says Charlotte and Dana will win on Sunday, as they say it. So there you go. Moving on to the WWE Tag Team Championship Fatal 4-Way Match. You have the New Day, the Vaudevillains, Enzo and Cass, and the Club. What's your thoughts?
This is hard to call because New Day is, I think, a month away from the tag team record, but it's almost set up for them to lose. It's not going to be the Club. It's too early to put any kind of title on them. And also, they have major plans for the Club, so I don't think them having titles right now does them any good. And that takes it down to Enzo and Cass, New Day, and who's the 13?
Vaudevillains, New Day.
Vaudevillains.
Yeah.
God, how could I forget the Vaudevillains? I don't see them putting it on the Vaudevillains either because they're not really pushing them. It's really going to come down between New Day and Enzo and Cass. I say New Day holds on for another month and they get the record. I mean, WWE seems perfectly content to leave the tag team titles on New Day. So I say it stays on New Day.
Based on television, with the New Day winning on SmackDown, I get this feeling they're changing the belts. The problem is, I don't know who they're putting the belts on. It's too early for Enzo and Cass. I think the Club wins the belts. It's hard because you look at all the teams, the Vaudevillains aren't gonna win. New Day's held there for too long. So it brings it down for me, Enzo and Cass, or the Club. I mean,
honestly, if you're gonna change it, I can see Enzo and Cass getting it before the Club gets it. Cause, I mean, what do you do with the Club and the titles?
You can have the New Day chase, you can have Enzo and Cass chase. I'm going with the Club. They're gonna win the belts. They'll beat the Vaudevillains or whatever. So, I have a question for you. What happens when the 8-Ball can't decide on any team?
We make it decide?
Because the 8-Ball has said no to every team. And finally, with one last shake of the 8-Ball, the Club will win on Sunday.
Oh, conveniently.
Anyway. New Day retains, says to WWE 2K Sim. So, there you go on that one. I just see the Club, based on the matchup we're going to talk about next. Yeah, it's going to be a Club night. AJ Styles, John Cena. This is going to be a hell of a match. This will be the match of the night. Easy.
They're going to go all the way. They at least they better.
They're going to tear the house down. John Cena's first matchup back. AJ Styles is a main event player. This is going to be a great match. It's a match 15 years in the making, even though Cena's only been around for 14. And AJ was nobody in 2001. But hey, it's 15 years in the making because it's a nice round number, supposedly.
It's close enough.
Close enough. This is going to be great. I'm so looking forward to this matchup. This will be one of the best matches on the show. Probably match of the night because it's AJ effing Styles. He is the phenomenal one. WWE could do a couple things. They could have John Cena win because it's John Cena and it's his first match back. AJ has not won a pay-per-view match since February at Fastlane, so he would need a pay-per-view win. He's now a heel. Heels don't always need a win right off the bat because heels can sort of play the part and get their heat back. AJ has pointed out when people lose to John Cena, they get buried. They could play off of that and have, you know, AJ Styles overcome the Cena burial and eventually beat John Cena afterwards. Because if you go by last year's scenario where Cena beat Kevin Owens beat Cena and then Cena beat him twice, that could happen to AJ, and I don't want to see that happen. Going with AJ, because it'll be a Club night, but it wouldn't surprise me that John Cena wins.
I wouldn't be surprised if John Cena wins, but AJ needs the win more. He lost at Mania. He lost at whatever the last pay-per-view was. I don't even remember anymore.
Extreme Rules and Payback. He lost both of them.
So he's lost 3 pay-per-views in a row. If you want to keep Styles legitimate, you need to have him win, and a major win over John Cena, at least to start the feud, would be good. I'm going with AJ. I don't think it's going to be clean, but I'm going with AJ. Although I would not be surprised if LOL Cena wins.
The video game has AJ Styles defeating John Cena, and it is decidedly so that AJ beat John Cena thanks to the Magic 8-Ball. This brings us down to Money in the Bank. Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Chris Jericho, Alberto Del Rio, Sami Zayn. I'm missing one, aren't I? Jericho, Owens, Cesaro, Zayn, Del Rio.
Ambrose. How can you forget Dean?
I've been looking at him the entire night, too, on the screen. Dean Ambrose.
God, you forgot Dean.
I forgot. Anyway. Yeah. This is going to be great.
This is going to be another match of the night contender for sure, because the people that are in this match will go out there and they will just absolutely try to tear the house down with it.
Oh yeah, they're going to tear the house down without question in this one.
Because I think what this is going to be is the 3 top matches, they're all going to try to outdo each other. I just feel major competition with the top 3 matches. But yeah, this should be very, very, very good.
So, can we eliminate Alberto Del Rio from winning?
Of course.
Can we eliminate Cesaro from winning?
Yes.
Can we eliminate Sami Zayn from winning?
Mm.
We'll put him in the maybe category?
Yeah, he's a maybe.
Chris Jericho.
Eliminate Jericho.
So it boils down to Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Dean Ambrose. Who wins in that case? Who needs it the most? I don't think Sami needs it the most.
Sami doesn't need it the most. Out of those three, Kevin needs it the most. Dean's gotten a couple pay-per-view wins back under his belt. He had a nice showing with Jericho at Extreme Rules. I would say that Kevin Owens wins. Excuse me, in that case.
So is that your pick?
As much as it kills me, because again, I will lose fantasy points. Because, you know, Dean Ambrose is on my team. Team Fluffy. I'm going with Owens. I think WWE's high on him. It doesn't make sense to have Ambrose win the Money in the Bank, even though it would be really entertaining. I think Owens with it would be more entertaining, especially since you have a face champion. So yeah, I can see Owens picking it up and winning.
I'm going with Kevin Owens. One, fantasy punch. Two, Kevin Owens needs it. Three, it's Kevin Owens. He should be elevated back into the WWE World Heavyweight title picture. Depending on the brand he's on, he should be in the contendership spot for that one, because he would be great with the belt. This will automatically guarantee him most likely winning a championship at some point, which he desperately needs to elevate himself over the top with that belt. Yeah, I'm going Kevin Owens wins. This will be a great match. The wild card in it, there could be a seventh man, could surprise us. And throw in a seventh man, Bray Wyatt.
They could, but I don't think they will.
So we'll see. Just, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bray Wyatt shows up and wins Money in the Bank. Just saying. I wouldn't be surprised.
You will hear me scream if that happens.
I know. 8-Ball says, signs point to yes that Sami Zayn wins Money in the Bank, while WWE 2K16 has Kevin Owens winning Money in the Bank. This brings us to our main event, the WWE World Heavyweight title. Seth Rollins challenges Roman Reigns.
This is hard, because it's Rollins' first match back on television since his knee injury. And the question will Rollins' knee hold? That's the story that they're telling. Can Roman beat Seth, because he never beat Seth, and will Seth's knee hold? So that's kind of the story they're going after. This is, like I said, this is hard to call, because Roman's the champion. They're not ready to take the title off of Roman just yet. I think he makes it to at least SummerSlam, if not beyond, with the title. But if you have Seth Rollins lose, where do you go with Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins cheats to win and becomes the new WWE champion. Boom. Mic drop. Done.
You think?
I'm going to be totally wrong, but that's what I'm going with.
I say Rollins wins, but I think there are going to be shenanigans in this. Because Rollins is like, oh yeah, I'm going to do it on my own. We all know Seth Rollins. Okay? We all know Seth.
So you're Seth Rollins by DQ?
I say Seth Rollins by DQ. Because then that way it's like Roman Reigns stays champion, and Seth gets his win. And if you want, you know, honestly, if you're going to bring back Bray Wyatt.
Anyone but you, Roman. Anyone but you.
Hey, they were feuding on the house show circuit. You could have Bray Wyatt come back, and he attacks Roman Reigns, and that's how Seth Rollins wins. Is Seth makes a deal with the devil.
He could. He definitely could. But I'm going to be wrong. I'm going with Seth Rollins wins the WWE title, because I'd rather see Roman lose the belt and chase Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins. No other reason other than Seth Rollins.
I think everybody would prefer Seth over Roman, but yeah, I would not be surprised if Roman wins.
It's going to be Roman Reigns. I know this. But WWE 2K16 has Rollins winning, and it was very controversial. How controversial? Find out by going to youtube.com/rackradioshow and find out in the simulation how controversial it was. Ding.
But,
hold on.
But
Magic 8-Ball has Roman Reigns retaining.
Okay.
Now that's done.
Now that we're done, I think that's the show. What do you think?
That would be the show.
All right, well, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Oh, boy, do I ever have things to plug. It's always a plug for me. Here we go. Saturday Night Midnight Edition, CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual, CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies, and there have been many. As always, hashtag Winners Wear Teal. Well, they sort of didn't. We'll talk about Saturday Night Midnight Edition on CB Radio. Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, it is another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and Omega, recapping everything that goes down at Money in the Bank. We'll be back Monday night, Raw Post Show, where Lindsay may scream for joy if he does not show up on Sunday night, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday for another edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, at Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. Search Rack Radio Show. Remember, ask The Rack in 2 weeks from tonight. Send in your questions. You can tweet them at WildTalkRadio with the hashtag AskTheRack or at Rack Radio Show. Put them on the Facebook pages. You can email them media@WildTalkRadio.com, or you can hand deliver them to Lindsay if you know how to find her. It's all that fun stuff. It is Ask the Rack, 2 weeks, June 30th, live on this very show. It's a thing. It's the four-year show. Take it. It's going to be fun. Send us questions. We'll answer them all on the show. You follow me on Twitter @WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, or Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, iTunes, and TuneIn Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter @LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard. Same as the Twitters, and don't forget to check out our awesome sponsors, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs, TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and Gerwick.net. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rack. Don't forget to submit your questions for Ask The Rack in 2 weeks. But till then, we will see you next week for our Money in the Bank recap. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and who was right. Hint, hint, wink, wink. So till then, we're out. Bye.